You're listening to the Climbing Higher radio broadcast with Bishop Eric A. Lambert Jr. of Bethel Deliverance International Church, a place where miracles still happen.
I said, no wonder the doctor didn't call me. There ain't nothing wrong. I said, I need to just cancel the appointment. I said, and save my $125. But I have to go so they can check, you know, all the stuff they do. But see how my mind went off? I knew inside it was well. But in my mind, I was scared to open it because I had perceived. And then that fear caused me to have pain in other parts of my body. Hence, we have the term psychosomatic. It means that there's no medical reason. It's mental. You actually make yourself feel that way. Why? Because the mind is so powerful, it can give you what you really don't have. It can give you symptoms of a disease that is not there. So sometimes what a charlatan doctor will do is give you a placebo and just treat your issue with a placebo, a sugar pill, and say, do you feel better? And you go, oh, yes, I feel better. And they know you lying. And Paul says that our minds are so powerful. Notice what it says, who being past feeling have given themselves over to lasciviousness to work all uncleanness with greediness. Where does this lack take place? In the mind. It's the mind. It is the regression of the mind pulling back from where God made it that causes you to go into these areas of life, lasciviousness, uncleanness, and greediness. You understand that eating until you're full is a mental concept. So nutritionists will tell you to eat a small portion and wait until your mind tells you you're full. But we like to gorge and keep saying just a few more buffalo wings. And your mind is screaming, you're full, but you're past that. So he says, with greediness. They walk into uncleanness and lasciviousness. Paul uses those two terms for sexual immorality. And he says they do that with greediness. What does that mean? We get the word insatiable. It means that nothing no one does can satisfy you. You just run from one relationship to the other because in your mind, you're saying no one can satisfy you. And these are the minds that live in the people who are filled with the Spirit. See the battle? The battle is not for control of your soul. Your soul is saved. It's for control of your mind. Is trying to paint things in your mind. Notice what Paul says. He says, but this is not how you have learned Christ. And learning again, mental. This is not how Christ has been absorbed in your mind. And if you have heard him and you have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus, you should put off the old lifestyle, which is corrupt according to the deceitful. There's a mental term. Deceitful lust. In other words, you've lied enough till you believe the lie that you need what you don't need. Now, the enemy can only go as far as your mind allows him. Watch. So-and-so's talking about me. Why? Because they just happen to look in my direction and then start talking. Just, they talking about me. I saw Pastor Lambert and Pastor Martin up there talking and laughing. They talking about me. Really? What could we say about you that would make us laugh? Where does that come from? There are people who are legitimately schizophrenic. And those individuals do hear voices. They have an audio schizophrenia. And they hear voices And those voices cause them to perform, you know, weird things. But then there are people who just hear voices. And sometimes they're not really clinically schizophrenic, but they hear voices. And there's two areas that those voices come from. One, it's satanic. Satan does talk just as well as God does. But the other one is yourself. And you talk to yourself. Either subjectively, which means you don't use your lips, or objectively, you use your lips. You just go out and talk to yourself. I talk to myself all the time in the car. And I tell people, it's okay to talk to yourself, just don't answer. When you answer, we have to 302 you. But it's okay to say, you know, I just don't like the way such and such is going on. And, you know, what am I going to do about it? Then you start thinking. You see? And so Paul says that we need to change our the controlling factor. Put off the old man, which is corrupt, and be renewed. Now, here he goes again. Be renewed. See there? That prefix, re. Be renewed in the spirit of your thinking. So what is he saying? Wait a minute. According to 1 Corinthians, I'm a new creature in Christ. Okay? I'm a new creature. And that word new is the word kainos. It means never have I existed before. I'm a new creature. Ezekiel says I got a new heart and God didn't renovate me. I'm a new creature. But here's the caveat. Here's the thing you have to be aware of. God did renew us in spirit, but our minds are still old. So no matter how new we are, we're still thinking like the old. As a boy, when I had to take a bath, and we had Jamaican Day. Every Saturday was Jamaican Day. We went over to our Jamaican relatives for good food and fun and music. And Mama made us all take baths, okay? I think she didn't want, you know, my Jamaican family to think she was a poor mother. So we all had to take baths. And then I would get up, and I'd put the same clothes on that I had yesterday. And she would become, you know, extremely frustrated. Boy, you don't put on dirty clothes on a clean body. Put those other clothes on that I laid out for you. Well, this is what happened with God. We got saved, blood washed, but we picked up the same mind. On our way from the altar, we picked up the same mind. You walk away from the altar, look at a person, and still think the same negative thing that you thought before you came to the altar. You put dirty clothes on a new spirit. And Paul says that I need to be renewed. Now, how does this happen? How does the renewal of the mind happen? Well, how is the mind polluted? It's polluted by associations with those that are ungodly. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, going into the 7th chapter, says, come out from among them and be separate and don't touch what's unclean. It is not just a passage for personal sanctification. It is a passage for mental rehabilitation. The longer you hang around bums, quitters, and losers, you are going to begin to pick up those attributes, and it will happen without you even knowing that it happened. So God says, I made you chameleon-like. The advantage is if you hang around positive people, people who are going somewhere, you will soak up those attributes. The disadvantage is if you hang around bums, you'll become a bum. And it's through no effort of your own. It happens by osmosis. You literally become what you behold. You are a creature filled with the spirit, but subject to your environment. And your environment has such a sway over you that you will find yourself incapable of breaking from satanic power because you're constantly surrounded by those who feed you negativity, doubt, and despair. And for some reason, they're like salted peanuts. You can't get rid of them. You want to. But they keep soaking you back in. You see their number on your phone. You see they've sent you a text. You know you should not answer it, but you cannot help yourself. These are the people who control your mind. If you cannot look at that and say, oh, there's Billy. I don't want to hear from him because every time I talk to him, I get sick. I get a headache. My blood pressure goes up. Then why answer the phone? Because in your mind, it's saying, you need Billy. Billy's your friend. You owe Billy $20. That's even more reason not to talk to him. And Paul says, I have to be renewed. How? How am I going to be renewed? Look at it. Renewed. How? By filling my space with positive people. With people who are not complainers, doubters, dream killers. I'd like to open a business. Child, this ain't no time to be opening a business. You shouldn't be doing that. You need to put your money aside because the stock market is going to crash. I don't want you in my boat. I'm thinking about starting a business. Hey, good thing. You're looking for an investor? I'll join with you because I believe in what you're doing and I want to help you. You see, we've been duped into thinking that the person who cries with us is a friend. Let me help you this morning. In many instances, when you go through devastation, the person that says they're supporting you are only doing it because they're not going through the devastation, and secretly they're glad it's not them. Yeah, child, I see you're going through. Whoo, thank God it ain't me. But a real friend is a person who rejoices when things go well for you. A real friend is a person that will rejoice when you get a new house that's bigger than, when they get a new house that's bigger than yours, or a new car that's newer than yours. A real friend is one who says, I thank God the pastor promoted you. Now, what do I need to do to work with you? That's a real friend. Not just somebody who comes up after you get fired. Oh, well, you know, praise the Lord, it happens. I'm going to believe God with you. But a real friend is the one who says, oh, you just got the supervisor's job over me. Couldn't have given it to a better person. Well, the amens are gone now. They're gone. Why? Because in our minds, here's what we're saying. Should have been me. I don't know why the pastor made them over that. I don't know why the pastor put them in that position. Should have been me. I've been there for 27 years. I was there when they were over at the old place. This is how churches grow. I have 29, 23 people here who remember when we were over there in that little, what we now call the chapel. And you're a certain type of group, prideful and arrogant. Look, I was there when they ain't had nothing but a brown shag carpet and folded vinyl chairs. I remember when Pastor Lambert didn't even have a robe to preach in, and Roz played on an organ that was on his last leg. And she just sat huddled over in the corner. Now we got 29, 29 people who look down at the 29, 23 people. But now we got seats with 4-inch cushions, air conditioned. You ain't got to stand outside in a line to wait to get in. Because the mind makes us think we're more than what we are. Paul says we have to undergo a renewal. What's going to happen if Jesus tarries and we build our new church? When the new ones come in, oh, you didn't help build this place. That's my name on the back of that seat. That's my family pew. Why? Because the mind makes you believe you're greater than what you are. And it needs to be renewed. Paul writes something to the church at Philippi. It does apply, but not directly. He says, let this mind be in you which was in Christ Jesus. The problem is, the word mind there is the word attitude. He says, have the same attitude of Jesus. What was his attitude? Hear me. Jesus descended to greatness. Jesus did not ascend to greatness. See, Jesus became great when he descended. Took on the form of a person and died for us. And as a result of that action, God has exalted him. You say, wait a minute, wasn't he in the Father from the beginning? Yes. But when he took on flesh, and became one of us to die for all of us, then God exalted him, not only him, but his name. So what is Jesus saying? The path to greatness is in denial. It is in serving. If you want to be great, serve. Lord, help me, help me, help me. Whew. Watch this. He said, but you didn't learn Christ this way. This is not how you learned it. You're renewing your minds. Everybody in our lives gets to a place where they aggravate us. Relationships are both situational and seasonal. Not that I'm not calling for the removal of your spouse. But I am saying that you have to change your season with your spouse. If you've been married 25, 30 years, you are no longer married to the person that stood at the altar with you. So stop looking for it. If you want to, go in the closet, look for the wedding dress, and gaze at it. Then just put it right back. She's not going to fit it anymore. Life has changed. The person that you are with now has been born out of mortgage payments, utility bills, children's dental visits, you know, sitting in frustration because life is not evolving in the way that you thought it should, and yet you're trying to rekindle a spark that's been doused with the water of reality. So you've got to change your mind and see your spouse through 40-year eyes and not 20. Edith Bunker was talking to Archie, and Archie had gone to this luncheonette, and he flirted with this woman, and Edith found out about it, and she approached him, and he said, Edith, I didn't do anything, and she said, Archie, I just want to ask you a question. She said, was she pretty? And Archie said, oh, how do I know? She said, Archie, was she pretty? And he said, she looked okay. She looked okay. She says, Archie, am I pretty? And he says, yeah, Edith, you're beautiful. And she said, oh, you're just saying that. She said, you need to get your eyes checked. And he said something that became theological to me. He said, how do you know that that's not how God made it? That when your looks change, my vision changes. Isn't that pretty good? For a redneck, that was pretty good. God made your eyes. He's saying God made my eyes change so I don't see what your physical shape is. I see the beauty of who you are. And that's what happens with the mind. The mind no longer looks for the external beauty. And that's what Peter said. He said, dwell with your wife according to knowledge. He said, and women, you ought to adorn your inside so it looks better than your outside, which is going to decay. Your hair is going to change. It's going to turn colors. It's going to get short. It's going to fall out. All that's going to happen. But that doesn't have anything to do with your inside. We fall in love with the house and not the person living in it. Because it's all mental. Hollywood tells you how you should look. I was watching the weather report. And all the weather ladies, they were just like Barbie dolls. They have no credibility with me. They take 2-3 hours to look all pristine. How are you going to tell me it's going to be, you know, a 0-degree temperature and 47 inches of snow, and you sit up there looking like you just walked off Miami Beach? I need somebody, you know, from down home. Drive home the point. Change your mind. That's what God did in Nineveh. He told Jonah, go to Nineveh. Jonah said, absolutely not. The Bible said Jonah went south. Got on a boat and wanted to go down south again. God sent a storm. The sailors were wondering, where'd this storm come from? Jonah said, it was me. I know I did it. He said, they said, all right, what are we supposed to do? He said, throw me overboard. Now, that's a real friend. A real friend is a person who tells you that my presence in your life is hurting you. Throw me out. That's another sermon. I ain't talking about that. And so when he is thrown out of the boat, the Bible says something else. It said God prepared a great fish as if there weren't enough already. God said, nope, got to have a special one. And it swallowed up Jonah, and Jonah died, contrary to the movies that you see. So how do you know he died? Because Jesus made him a type. Jesus said, just as Jonah was in the belly of the fish, so will the Son of Man be. So Jesus died, and Jonah died. And God spoke to the fish and said, spit him out, after he had been digested. Now, I need you to go to Nineveh and give them this message. Why? The message of repentance is mental. Because unless you believe Jesus is coming and single up your mind to say, I've got to live like I expect him, you will dibble and dabble in Christianity and be like those virgins who have no oil when the bridegroom comes. And God said, I don't want the Ninevites to have an improper assessment of my judgment. So he sent Jonah. He didn't let Jonah go home and clean up. He sent him there looking like he had just been in a fish. Now, if that doesn't do something to your mind, he said that judgment is coming. They took one look at Jonah and said, if that's what judgment looks like, God forgive me. The king said, put the animals in sackcloth. Why? Because my mind has an object lesson. Here's why we don't live as holy as we should. We have not seen the judgment of God. We have no point of mental reference for the judgment of God.
We pray that you were blessed and encouraged by the message you heard today. To order today's message, call 215-885-2585. When ordering, refer to the program title,
Renovation of the Mind,
or the program number,
01319A.
If you'd like to view the Climbing Higher daily telecast, tune in to WBPH-TV on Comcast Cable, Monday through Friday at 7:30 a.m. Please check your local cable listings for the channel number in your region. To stream Bethel's Sunday services live, visit BethelDeliverance.org or download the Bethel Deliverance app on iTunes or Google Play. We stream live on Sundays beginning at 8:15 a.m. and 12 p.m. You're also invited to join us in person by attending any of our Sunday services taking place at 7:30 a.m., 11:30 a.m., and 6 p.m. at our main sanctuary located at 2929 West Sheldon Avenue in Winco, PA. For more information about Bishop Lambert and Bethel Deliverance International Church, follow us on social media through Facebook and Instagram, or contact us at 215-885-2585. Thank you for tuning in today. Keep climbing higher in the Word of God.
The Climbing Higher broadcast with Bishop Eric A. Lambert, Jr. is part of the media outreach ministry of Bethel Deliverance International Church. Our goal is to reach the world with powerful messages of faith, truth, and victory taught from the Word of God. You can take part in this significant mission by becoming a media partner. Your weekly, monthly, or one-time gift goes directly towards reaching the masses with life-changing messages of hope from God's Word. We invite you to visit the BethelDeliverance.org media link for more information about the media partnership. You may also contact the media outreach representative at 215-885-2585 to make a donation. Thank you for tuning in to the Climbing Higher broadcast with Bishop Eric A. Lambert, Jr. of Bethel Deliverance International Church. We appreciate your support.